Okay, let's start with prayer. Lord, I just am so thankful to get to be your servant. No one knows better than you how much I need it. Oh, you're so good. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you so much. Lord, the power of your life within me is so amazing and so mysterious, and I want to partner with it more, and I know we all do. And there's things that we struggle with. And so, Lord, we want to open your word and have the impact of your word transform us this morning. And so we open our hearts, Lord, and we just invite you, Lord, to bring your business to bear on us as we listen to your word, Lord, that you would come and quicken us so that we can respond in a way that will transform us. You're so good. Amen. Amen. Oh, I've had an interesting week. It's so funny how the Lord just brings about events because he loves us so much. And preparation time this weekend has been really interesting. Lisa's not here today. She's got a throat thing going on. We took her first thing yesterday to MedExpress to get it checked out. Thursday, she wasn't well. I took the day off and drove her to Charleston. She needed some training that she had to have. So I took her down there, and then yesterday, her mom, Becky's not here with us, had to have a catheterization. Took her. Everything went great. God is so good. Just kind of really gave her the confidence that everything in there is doing what it's supposed to be doing and things are working well. So that's real nice. And then that was Friday. And then Saturday, I've been the ambulance. I'm driving people around. But It's been good. And in the midst of all that, the Lord has kindly given me a few things to say, which, you know, I was kind of counting on. So, and it's interesting. We need a lot of grace. I love Pastor talking, gave us a message last week from the parables. And I'm so intrigued. I love it when Jesus talks to us. And he promised us this wonderful thing that we would read these parables and we'd have understanding that other people wouldn't have just because we love them and we're interested. And so he's like, as Pastor said last week, you know, you need to understand this one and then you'll understand them all. And throughout the examples, the disciples kept coming and saying, you're going to have to explain that. Okay, so we didn't even have to feel bad about not understanding him, because even though he said we would, we could go and say, hey, I should have, and I thought I would, but I don't really think I did. So I'm going to pour in here. We're in Matthew 13. We're going to find out about the wheat and the tares, and let's just jump in. So 13:24. Another parable he put forth to them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed seed in his field. But while men slept, the enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. That was a trick. So wheat looks just like tares. They're identical until they are fully matured. And the one has the wheat, you know, the top, and the other doesn't. So bingo, we got it, and nothing to eat. So it's a big deal. No food on the other. So, but when the grain had sprouted and produced a crop, then the tares also appeared. Aha! So the servants of the owner came and said to him, sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? What were you thinking? How does it have tares? And he said, well, an enemy has done this. And the servant said, well, do you want us to go and gather them up? He said, no, that's why you gather up the tares and you uproot the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest, and at the time of harvest I will say to the reapers, first gather together the tares and bind them in bundles, then burn them, but gather the wheat to my barn. Which is perfectly understandable, right? You got that? We're all good. Well, I'm going to explain it just for me, because the disciples weren't sure. The disciples were nervous. You know, they made some mistakes, and they weren't real sure about Jesus' attitude towards them. They really weren't comfortable with, you know, Jesus, how we doing? Are we okay? They weren't sure. Do you ever feel like that? I felt like that's what the point today was, that the Lord wanted you to know that you're all right. It's okay. You know, you're seeking him. You're inviting him to come. And he's really happy about that. He's really happy about you being interested in his word. And We're going to talk more about the passion, the love of it. But right now, the thing the Lord really put on my heart was to say that He just cherishes you. He really cherishes you. He really appreciates you. And you don't have to be nervous. You know, the children of Israel were real nervous too. They came out of bondage. 400 years they were in bondage. So the people that were coming out, they didn't know anything else. Nothing. And they did some things that ticked the Lord off. I don't want to go too much in detail. One time it was just about me. You know, when we were in bondage, we knew on Fridays we got fish. I don't think it was exactly like that. You're going to have to read, okay? I'm not getting you the lowdown on it. But basically what it was is we're done with this manna, okay? It's this miracle stuff that you've been providing every day. We're done with that, okay? Your miracle provision now is kind of coming up short compared to bondage. Bondage is starting to look better. I know, it seems funny, right? We do it all the time. We do it all the time. Like, gosh, this is so hard. These people are mean. I'm done with this. I'm going to be just as mean as they are. Give them a boot. Fix them. Gosh, I'm okay being kind to them, but when I'm driving, they should be out of my way. Huh? I mean, there's places you don't have to be kind, right? You don't have to always be loving. Every minute of every day, loving? Come on, who can do that? Okay, we'll get more into that. And your giggles say, okay, we're with you. So the enemy has sowed this, so let's hear what Jesus says to him. He says, so he answered them, he who sows seed is the Son of Man. So Jesus is sowing the seed. The field is the world. Good seeds are the sons of the kingdom. Whoop, whoop, give it up for the sons of the kingdom. Okay, but the tares are the sons of the wicked one. The enemy who sowed them is the devil, and the harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are the angels. Therefore, as the tares are gathered and burned in the fires, so it will be at the end of the age. And the Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and those who practice lawlessness. Okay, I'm going to go on, but this all things that offend, that kind of caught me up short because, you know what, I like to be funny and goof around, and sometimes I'm offensive. You know, I could fit there maybe, you know, and I'm like, oh, wait a minute. Offense? Come on. Really? All those things that offend and those who practice lawlessness, and will cast them into the furnace of fire, and there will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine forth as a sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ear, let him hear. So Jesus just went through this list, and it's the first part, before he got far at all things that offend. So there's a couple definitions for offend. Okay, so one is offense, a word with two distinct meanings, that which prompts a person to bristle with indignation or disgust. The type of offense may be, in fact, from God, according to its usage in the Bible. The Apostle Paul spoke of the offense of the cross. The Jews were offended because faith without Jewish legal observances was offered as the only means of salvation. So this was a huge twist. You know, they're like, no, it's never been that way. No. We've been obeying the word, and now you want us to just believe in Jesus Christ? We've got all these chores we've got to accomplish so that we know we're saved, and you want to make it trust Jesus? Kill him. He's got to die. This will not go. They were offended by the truth. And so there's an offense, being offended by the Word of God, being offended by the constrainment of what it is to be a Christian, being offended by Jesus Christ. So there's an offense from the Word, but there's also an offense that refers to the things which cause a person to do something against his conscience. This is a type of offense that may be from Satan or other people. Its effect is to entice a person to sin. This kind of offense, which can be produced, is like the gray areas of the Christian life. Those practices which are kind of gray. Some people have a problem. Yesterday I was at a wedding. My older sister got married. It was beautiful. It was gorgeous. I kept looking. I thought, you know, maybe Jesus would show up with some wine. We'd break out in a huge party. That didn't happen. But I know, you know what, I'm if the wine had been there, I'm not sure I would have drank it. I'm not sure it would have been a problem either way. But you know what, I just feel like I want to set a good example. And so I'm not all that comfortable drinking wine. I don't think there's anything wrong with drinking wine. From a biblical perspective, Jesus doesn't either. I don't know. He didn't just produce a little either. You guys ought to look at that story, okay? Jesus came through for that party. Whoa. Whoa. Come on. I mean, big, huge. People have said it's like 190 some bottles of wine, and the guys drinking it were like, whoa, you brought out the good stuff last? What were you thinking? We can hardly taste now, but we recognize this is stellar. This is stellar. This stuff is great. And so, you know, Jesus not only made wine, he did a good job. He made some great wine. But I don't know if I'm okay with it. I mean, how would he feel about me if I had a drink of his wine? So you can see the disciples weren't all that comfortable with all that either. You know, when they were in the boat, Jesus recommended that they avoid the leaven of the Pharisees. You guys be careful of the leaven of the Pharisees. It'll creep. And they're like, oh, dude, he's ticked. Man, Jesus is mad. I never even thought about the bread. I didn't think about it at all. I thought you would cover that. You got stuff. Man, who was responsible for the bread this trip? Jesus is ticked, and now we got no bread. So Jesus is like, guys, come on. Come on. Do you remember the few loaves and the fish and the 5,000? Do you remember it? Not just once. I do not worry about bread. I don't. I don't worry about bread. In fact, I've got bread you don't even know about. And I'm not concerned about that. But, you know, we do that, though. We think, oh, man, if only I was, I don't know, more. Pastor's talking about hearing from God on his walk, and you think, you know what, if I was more like that. And the Lord's like, no, 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 mm-mm, no, 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 mm, no, no. Mm-mm. Do you remember how he wooed you? Do you remember all that went on inside your heart? The way you guys communicated, you and the Holy Spirit drawing you to Jesus? It was really special. It was unique and it was fashioned just for you. It was totally for you. It didn't involve other people at first. Something started. And people came along and you got revelation and found out about more what it was to belong to him. And it became safer and safer until one day you were ready. But it was unique to you. He's very personal. And he doesn't want to start like that and end with you being just like anybody else. He wants you free to be you. And that's what today was about. I was at the hospital with Lisa's mom, and one of the nurses, a fella, said he saw me, you know, studying and writing stuff down, and he said, where do you go to church? I live in Fairmont. It's, well, right there on Country Club Road. It's a Foursquare church right there, and that's where I go. That's where I've been going ever since I got saved. And he said, you know, I don't know. I just want more. Yeah, me too. Me too. I want more too. I want more too. I want more too. And I tell you, if you come, you'll find more. You will find more because there's more. There is more. But it's so beautiful to understand that in the pursuit of more, it's okay to be you. It's okay to be you. I also got to spend some time with my granddaughter. She's 9 months old. Yeah, it was awesome. You know that girl can't read? Not even a little. Her parents have been good. They bought her all kinds of books. There's all kinds of books at her house. And they're just for her. Some are fuzzy, but she can't read any of them. She can't read. She cannot read. She can hardly walk. She can get maybe one step. And then she sits down like, whoa, did everybody see that? The first time she did it, her mom and my wife screamed. And she was like, oh my gosh, what happened? She can't walk. She cannot walk. She can't run. She doesn't know my name. I'm pretty sure she recognizes me. She kind of smiles when I come around and I make funny noises and we interact. It's pretty neat. I'm thrilled about it. She smiles at me. I got to tell you, it sets me off. I need another fix. But she can't do stuff. She can't say my name. I'm not sure she knows it. I kind of keep telling her because I think it's going to be cool when she starts saying it. But she can't. She can't do it. She's really functions pretty low. And that's plenty for me. The point is, it's plenty for me. Where she is right now is plenty for me. I couldn't be more thrilled. I got to tell you, I can't wait to get back to spending some time with her. And I'll put stuff off. I've got chores at the home, and I'm the only guy there, guys. It's not going to happen if I don't do it. Those chores aren't going to get done. And often they don't, because I'll make a decision to go hang out with this kid and not do stuff at home. And then I just get, to where I just have to get it done. And I'll do it. But until it's just pushing on me like crazy and I'm feeling all kinds of pressure about it, I won't do it. And, if I've got to have laundry to go to work, I mean, I like to wear clean clothes to work. But, I'll wear some older stuff. Because that machine's heavy duty. You can just jam stuff in it. And that's the way the Lord loves you. He's not thinking, man, if only Ray could read. It's going to be so cool when Ray can read. No, he's not worried about that. Not worried a little bit. Not even a little bit. What he wants from Ray is something entirely different. And so, let's see, where do we go? Let's look at Matthew 24. I'm all carried away. I'm trying to keep things in order so it all makes sense. Because I think that fact alone is miraculous. And it does. So we're at Matthew 24. And starting in 3 in my Bible, it says the signs of the times and the end of the age. And Jesus kind of lays it out. So now as he sat at the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately. Isn't that sweet? Do you guys miss that sometimes when you read through that? The disciples came to him privately. And again, I say, not everybody needs to know how deeply I need Jesus just to explain a few common knowledge kind of things. Okay? It's okay to say, hey, Jesus, I don't get it. And it's okay to want to wait until it's private. It's all good. It's all good. Tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? And Jesus answered and said to him, and he doesn't really tell him exactly what's going on. He kind of answers in a way that says, just trust and be careful. Take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of war. See that you're not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in various places. There was just a volcano today, right? Yeah. Wow. And these things are the beginning of sorrows. And they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you. You will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And many will be offended. There it is again. Many will be offended, will betray one another and hate one another. Many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because of lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. And he who endures until the end shall be saved. So the point I wanted to get to that is the love of many will grow cold. Because I felt like the result of that feeling like you need to be more, it pushes me to give up. it's a pressure on me that makes me want to say, oh my gosh, I can't do this. And that's actually the truth in a twisted kind of way. Because the enemy is pushing you around. And you got to understand that Herod came and killed innocent babies to kill off the life of Jesus Christ. And there's a lot of innocent things that you're involved in that the enemy wants to kill just to kill off the life of Jesus Christ. If he can put pressure on you to make you feel like in the midst of doing the right thing, in the midst of living a Christian life, in the midst of living your life out the best of you can for Jesus Christ, open to whatever he wants to do in and through you, you can feel like you're not measuring up. There's an enemy that wants to kill off the innocent, kill off the babies, kill off everything that has to do with Jesus Christ in your life. Because there's a war going on. There's a war going on, and if he can get you distracted, then he wins. And distractions are everywhere. You have to understand how big your God is just to forgive people. Because there's something in you that says, no way. No way. No, 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 no. Who's going to hold them accountable if I don't? How can I let that go? How in the world can I let that go? They should know better. And now you're feeling the pressure. Someone's going to have to stand up and man up for what's right and what's wrong. Now, the Bible says that if somebody offends you, somebody does something to you, that you're to go to them and explain, okay, you know what? That hurt. I didn't appreciate it when you did that. I know you like to have fun, Ray, but everybody laughing, that was my expense. That was, you know, that hurt my feeling. I'd rather you didn't do that. That's someone coming to you individually. Or you going to someone individually. But you know what? There's a lot of things going on just in politics that offends me. And I have to go, okay, Lord. Okay. All right. It's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. I'm just going to trust you. I'm going to give that to you. There's political right and wrong. You know, there's a whole group of people out there that are offended because I'm a Christian. And I haven't said anything to them, not one way or another. But I know that inside they know what's right and wrong. They've been fighting this battle inside their heart, and they want me to tell them it's okay. I can't tell them that. And so they're offended with me. And I haven't said anything. I didn't say you're living in sin. You got to quit. You're wrong. I haven't said anything. But they know I'm a Christian, and they don't like me. But I just need to love. I need to forgive them. Lord, I forgive them. I know there's stuff going on inside them that I can't see. And there's a war to be won inside their heart that I can't win with my words. But I know how you worked in me, Lord. I know the sin I was involved in that I didn't think I'd ever let go. And I know the fear I dealt with that I couldn't live for you. I know all the things that I was worried about and all the wars that went on inside my head. And your Holy Spirit, they won war after war inside my heart. Until it was open to receive you in it. And so I want my heart to be so full of love that I can love people that hate me when I haven't done nothing. And the Bible talks about it. It's our first venture out of Matthew. I knew some would be excited. Let's go to 1 Corinthians. And if you felt that comment picked on you, I didn't look up. I'm not sure who it was, but don't be offended. 1 Corinthians 13. I say it slow so I can get there first. 13, 1 through 10. It's gonna be up there. You guys will have it just like that. Okay. Where do we start again? Okay, one. Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not love, I've become a sounding brass and a clanging cymbal. You starting to see why there's a warfare on your heart? Because of the lawlessness, the love has grown cold in many. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains but have not love, I'm nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. But wherever there are prophecies, where they fail, where there are tongues, they will cease. Where there are knowledge, it will vanish away. Well, we know in part and prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. And I felt like this morning the Lord wanted to give us a mini revival, an opportunity to say, Lord, I want it back. I want the whole reason that I started this journey back, a passion for Jesus Christ. I want to be more passionate about Him living through me all the time. All the time. And not because somebody else put pressure on me. A guy at work brought a scripture to my desk in my office and pointed to that scripture and said, you know, people are talking. I said, yeah, I bet they are. I bet they are. I bet, you know, it might have been you. You know what? I don't worry about what people talk. There's no way I can live up to anybody else's expectations. I'm not concerned about it. And there's an assault that's tricky. It's a tricky assault. I could have been mad at him. I could have been condemned myself. You know, it's tricky. And the poor guy, I know he's trying to help. I mean, he's genuinely worried about my salvation. I mean, I'm misrepresenting his Savior. I'm not sure who that is. Oops. See how easy it was? Oh, my goodness. I was kind right up to then, wasn't I? Yeah. You guys are going to wind up seeing the real Pastor Ray in a minute. So we all have places to grow, right? And we can be kind and loving, and you know, but you have to be wise. You have to be wise. What did Jesus say? Be wise as... He did say that. Man, he makes wines and compares us to serpents.
Yeah.
This guy is pretty rowdy. So be wise as serpents and gentle as doves. So I needed to be wise, not... But gentle, gentle, because this little guy, he loves the Lord, and he's genuinely, he's concerned. And so I need to be wise not to be offended. I need to be wise as a serpent, not to get caught in his battle, not to try to wage war with where he is. Just give him, let the Holy Spirit do whatever he wants to do in him, but be kind and not take on the condemnation for myself. Do I need to grow in Christ? Absolutely. Do I need someone else instructing me? Sometimes. But other times there's a religious assault against my heart, and I have to be wise not to bite. I have to be wise to be kind, to be wise as a serpent and gentle as a dove. I don't want to mess up. I don't want to slap him back and get him hurting and, you know, confirming his suspicions about me and about Christians in general and about how the Lord loves him and about what he has to do to measure up before Jesus Christ. There's a lot that goes on, right? So I want to be careful with poor little Ray and how he relates to Jesus, but I want to make sure I'm careful with him too. Because we're all one family. There's only one place we get to go, and you don't want to be anywhere else. And so we're growing up in the midst of tares. And so sometimes we might get slapped by a tear or a tear just about to become a wheat miraculously. So we want to be really, really careful. Really careful. That's why he has the angels do it. We don't have to worry about that separation thing at all. Oh, I misjudge myself. I can't believe I wouldn't misjudge others. And so the Lord wants to help us with a couple tools, these two powerful tools in the kingdom. And one is forgiveness, and the other is repentance, the two we're going to talk about today. And we're just about out of time, and so that works real well. Because funny how that works, isn't it? So what I wanted to give us the opportunity to do was forgive first, because a lot of times those events like that, or others, hurt. And when I'm hurt, it's easy for me to get mad and get even and get something. And so I want to give us the opportunity to forgive people. Forgive not just people, but forgive ourselves. And not just people and ourselves, but forgive God. Because a lot of times there's been something that we were really believing for, we were really hanging on for. We had the faith. And if we had faith as a mustard seed, we could move mountains. And we were hanging on and trusting God, and it didn't go the way we thought it would. His sovereignty offends me. And I've had to forgive him for being sovereign. But he gets to choose, you know what? And he gives me a free choice. And so my choice is I want to be with you, Lord. I want to just agree with what you do. And I'm convinced you're kind and you're merciful. And you're everything I need. And I don't want to find myself opposing you. So I'm going to be real about where I hurt. I'm going to be real about what goes on so that I can forgive. And today, if there's any place you're hurting, and it may have been a long time ago, and so I'm going to give a little bit of time for the Holy Spirit to show us things, because He loves us so much, and He cherishes us like we were a grandchild. He cherishes us so much that He takes the time to show us things, not to hurt our feelings, but just to give us opportunity to be real. And so, Lord, we're just making a little room for the Holy Spirit right here. We so appreciate the way you deal with us individually. Just one-on-one, us and the great, mighty God that loves us and has provided a Holy Spirit to live in us. Lord, you were there. You were there. You were right with us when that happened. You were with us when we were really trusting you to do something different than what you knew you had to do. And when you were sovereign and we weren't ready. And you were with us when we disappointed ourselves, and we've developed an opinion of ourselves that's contrary to the truth of your word. And you were there when we were hurt so bad by that pastor or that leader or whoever it was, a friend, a family member. But we just want to forgive, Lord. We know that from your word that we're the ones in prison when we hold someone else and won't forgive. We trap ourselves. And so, Lord, we choose right now to allow your Holy Spirit to come and show us what, who, where, when. Lord, show us the path to forgiveness, Lord, that we could walk in it today. And now just agree with me in prayer. Lord, like the disciples, sometimes we don't understand the whole deal about it, Lord. Where you're talking about the leaven of the Pharisees, that religiousness, and we're thinking we forgot something, and you're upset. So, Lord, as we come to walk in your ways of forgiveness, we just ask that you would come and heal our hearts, Lord. Come and give us the courage we need to face these events. Sometimes it's just big. It's real big. We don't want our love to grow cold. We don't want to be tricked by an enemy that would kill off all the innocent in us just to kill off the life of Jesus Christ. That kind of hatred is hard for us to see and understand. So, Lord, we choose the path of forgiveness right now. We want to partner with you. We want to have your help, your comforter, the Holy Spirit, the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. We need a partnership, Lord, because sometimes it's more than we can do. And sometimes we don't even understand what's really going on. So we invite you to empower us to forgive right now. So just agree with me. Lord, I choose forgiveness. I give this situation to you. I trust your sovereignty. Lord, you know me. You know sometimes there's this little gauge inside that says this limit and no further. But I want to trust you more. Trust you more than I have in the past. And I want this forgiveness to be bigger than it's ever been before. As a statement of my faith in who you are. And now, Lord, I want to pull out the other tool that you've given me, the tool of repentance. I've held people to standards I haven't been willing to live up to. And I haven't thought of you as being big enough. You've not been big enough in my mind. I've had to hold these people to my standard because I wasn't trusting you. I kept you real small. Today, I want to let you be big in my life. I want to be more passionate about you. I want to live for you like never before, and I don't even know what that means. But I know this. It's all about love. It's all about love. Nothing else matters. All the really cool spiritual stuff I've seen others do and even had occasion to do myself is not the big deal. It's love. And I want to be better at love. I want to be better. I know after being married for almost 35 years that I've gotten better at loving my wife. And I want to get better at loving you, Lord. I want to be better and better at it. I want the passion of our relationship to propel me into situations where I behave differently. I want to be so passionate about you that I don't behave the same anymore. That I'm even curious about what I'll do because I don't know. I don't know what passion will drive me to do. I don't know how I'll behave. I don't even know what it'll look like, but I want it. I want to be more passionate. And so I repent for being just okay with being saved. I repent for being okay with your sacrifice for me personally. I repent for being okay with the stripes on your back. And living as if I was just okay with it. I don't know what it's going to look like. But Lord, I'm wanting to live different. I want more passion. I want more passion in everything I do. I want more of you. And I want to let you be sovereign. And so you can have every circumstance in my life. You can have every single circumstance in my life. I give it to you willingly. And I repent for every place where I wanted it my way. My way's never worked. I don't want it my way. I'm so sorry. I want your way, and I want it. I want it in full passion. So I open my heart fully to you and invite that. I don't know what it is, but I want it. Thank you, Jesus. By faith, I receive. I receive it by faith because I can't do it. I'm not going to hold myself to any standard. I'm just going to trust you by faith that you're doing it right now. That's how it works.
There's this a wonderful touch of the Holy Spirit through Pastor Ray's ministry to us. It doesn't matter how young in the Lord or how old you ever become, there will always be points of these two things to deal with, forgiveness and repentance. They're the two greatest tools that we're given. The fastest way to unburden our souls is through forgiveness and repentance. Jesus said, repentance unto forgiveness would be preached to all nations. It's the essence of the gospel. I want to go ahead and ask, if I have failed you in any way, will you forgive me? I'm a human being. I'm not above mistakes. It's not like I run around looking for moments or opportunities to be bad. How many of you have done things you look or turn around and the next day you look at yourself and you go, why in the world did I do that? Fear maybe got in the way. Something blocked your good sense. And that's why we come to Jesus. Because he allows us the mercies of the Lord are new every morning. It wouldn't declare that if it wasn't so needed. Right? We're going to have more people on the platform if we want more attention given to prayer. Let's go ahead and have those come up and then let's stand together. Thank you, Pastor Ray. I love your way and your style and your gift and the clarity by which the Holy Spirit can make a simple, profound truth so simply attainable. Thank you for your ministry. Anybody else happy as I am that he's here? Thank you, Jesus. Quality, high quality. Praise you, Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.